News Talk 1450 KFIZ. Welcome back in on a Wednesday. August is underway, and first Wednesday of the month of August means it is time for our conversation with ACE Stop and Ignition SSM Health Domestic Violence Services. Amy Bear back with us. Rihanna still absent. Where is she? Come on.
She is. She'll be back. Hopefully, is it next month or the next month? I don't remember.
Okay.
She'll be back.
She is. She's dodging us. I think
she is.
We know where she is, but I'm just going to put it out there. She just doesn't like us anymore.
That's not. I hope she's listening.
We know that's not the case. We're just having some fun. But thanks for coming back in. We're also joined by Officer Mathis with the Fond du Lac Police Department.
Yes.
So maybe a behind the badge preview here for you regular listeners to the show. I don't know, but we're going to talk about the DVIT, and
yes.
I'm sure that will be defined here in just a moment by both of you, and we'll talk more about that. But first, before we start, tell us about domestic violence services. Remind us how folks can get in touch if they need your services.
Yeah, absolutely. We are affiliated with SSM Health, which is with Ignition Healthcare, and we work with the community on individuals who have been affected by domestic violence. So either kids, victims, or offenders as well. So we offer counseling services, education services, kind of all across the board. We can be reached at 926-4207.
Very good. So let's jump in to the topic here. It is DVIT. It's an acronym, obviously, and I'll let either one of you, Officer Mathis or Amy, you kind of tell us about what it is and what its purpose is here in our community.
I can kind of talk about it a little bit. So DVIT is Domestic Violence Intervention Team. It's a program that we have at the police department that works closely with Amy and her team over at SSM Health. So what we do is every day we typically have one officer assigned to this, and we go through and look at all of the domestics that we have had in the previous, you know, day, couple days. And our goal on the team is within 48 hours of an incident happening where someone is arrested and there's a victim, we want to give that victim a call, just kind of, again, give them our resources that we have for the city, so that if they need to give anyone a call, they can do that. Sometimes they'll say, you know, I have the number, I don't want to do it alone, we can help do stuff like that. And really, we just want to reach out again. Like we already talked to them, the officer should have given them a pamphlet and just reiterate that there are resources for you, you're not alone in this, and that people are here to help you. So that's kind of our role.
Yeah, it's a kind of an awesome opportunity to really for that community outreach as well, because for our program, we don't get involved unless someone tells, you know, about us. You know, we're not in a position with law enforcement. They're responding on scene. And so we're kind of that backup, you know, after that initial incident happened, you know, when things maybe settle down a little bit, then we can kind of provide those long-term services. So it's an opportunity for just to share that we are here and a resource. In addition to Solution Center, a lot of times people think Solution Center, like, well, I have to stay there, you know, in order to get services or anything like that. And so during the day, we're contacted if it's, you know, a crisis on hand or after hours, so to speak, then Solution Center is contacted.
So like you said, an important piece of that community outreach. And you know, if people who are going through a situation like this don't know that these services are there, you're not, you know, available to do your jobs and be part of this, be part of the solution to the problem, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's an opportunity too. Sometimes I've heard even from patients coming working with us is having that follow-up's helpful, especially if things need a, like sometimes injuries show up days later, and having that conversation about, you know, is it a time to go have, you know, photographs taken for evidence and different things like that. So it's continuing those conversations with law enforcement too. So kind of building that relationship as well with the victim, as well as connecting with resources.
And one of the things that every officer asks the victim on every single call where arrest is made and is a domestic is, do we want us to share their information with the advocates that we have in Fond du Lac? If they say no, unfortunately, we can't give that. But a lot of times they say, yes, I want some help. What we can do then is we fill a form out on the DVIT team, and we can send that. Typically, I send it to Amy and a couple other people at the hospital so they can take a look at it. That they can reach out to that person and know that that person doesn't want to be talked to and wants help. And maybe they didn't want to call the night of the incident with everything going on. And I mean, it can be very stressful at times, but maybe the next day they want to talk to someone. And that way, even if they don't reach out, then I can be like, hey, Amy, you know, they didn't reach out. However, they gave me permission to share their info. Maybe if you want to reach out to them and see if there's something they need.
So it's an extra layer of kind of follow-up, right?
Yep. That can be part of that. Absolutely. And like Officer Matz is saying, you know, sometimes they don't want us to have that follow-up with them. And with Marcy's Law, part of that, it really came into play as well, and having more of those conversations. And so it's a respect factor, too, for victims. Maybe now is not the time, but maybe it's an opportunity just to say, hey, there are resources available, just so they provide that education that can be the know. And maybe they do come forward later on. Maybe it's just not something that we know on the spot, you know.
We had talked about Marcy's Law. You mentioned that. We had talked about that last year, and I think it got kind of lost in the shuffle of all the craziness that happened in 2020.
Talk about 2020.
Right. Yeah, that's like, I said a bad word there and trying to get fined by the FCC. But with Marcy's Law, that was passed early on in 2020, and obviously with the pandemic and all the other political stuff going on, it kind of maybe took a back seat. And how does Marcy's Law, you mentioned it briefly, how does that relate to kind of the police and advocate kind of relationship and how it works in our community then?
Yeah, look at Marcy's Law as kind of a protection factor for victims. So information on them is not released. So name, contact information, anything like that is not released without their permission. So like I mentioned, it's kind of like a respect for them, and also an opportunity for them to be more involved with the court process and really having that voice. So it's kind of a combination. But for the purposes of, you know, that initial contact, so to speak, which is why officers have that, you know, really asking those questions. Do you want, you know, your information out there for resources? Because sometimes they're not ready. You know, I don't want to have that conversation right now. I have too much other things going on. We don't want to be inconvenient, so to speak, or another thing that victims have to, you know, to do, or another person they have to talk to. They're not in that place right now, but they know that we're here when they are ready.
And that's why we give a pamphlet out as well. If they do say, no, I don't want you to share my information, okay, when you're ready, here's a pamphlet. It has all the resources we have in Fond du Lac. Please reach out to someone. You know, they're a great resource. They can help with restraining orders, stuff like that, you know, that maybe they didn't know that that's what they're there for. So. Mm-hmm.
And with the domestic situation, too, I mean, you hate to see it happen, but oftentimes there's not a definite end to that relationship. Sometimes the couple comes back together, and you know, then maybe it's another, you know, reoffense or something like that. So, like you just said, it's not always a right away, like, we're going to reach out, this is the end, I'm taking, you know, control of this situation. There's maybe some, you know, time where they're still together after the incident. And that's why it's important to provide that resource in case, you know, absolutely, something does come to a head again, right?
Yeah, which we stress is why we work with both victim and offender individuals. We have had couples come in. We just don't do couples counseling. Mm-hmm. But we can work with really both ends of the spectrum, so to speak. And I think it's kind of an opportunity too, like I mentioned, is that we have had patients ask specifically for a DVIT officer, because there's officers just that are with Fond du Lac PD that are just on that team, which I think is an awesome opportunity. We've had them, you know, either go over to PD, or we've asked to see if there's availability for them to come to our office. And I think just knowing that there's special interest, because domestic violence cases can be, I mean, difficult.
Mm-hmm. Scary in most cases for people.
Absolutely.
You had some other information you wanted to talk about, the Lethality Assessment Protocol, another acronym, LAP, I think it is. Why don't you tell us about that and how that relates to what we're talking about today?
Yeah, that's a lot where we're talking about where that we are contacted during the day, so to speak, and then Solution Center after hours. So the LAP is really how law enforcement does their screening. So I'll turn it over actually to Officer Mathis on that one.
So we have a form. Again, it's the LAP form. We fill out with every victim that is in an intimate relationship with the suspect. Basically, it has questions about the relationship. For example, it says, have they ever used a weapon against you or threatened you with a weapon? They have yes, no, or unknown. And if they say unknown, we can kind of go based on what we're feeling from the situation. So there's 11 questions kind of relating to that. Based on how many they answer yes to, it can be a high danger relationship, which we'll score. Or if the officer feels, you know, it didn't rank high danger, however, I feel like there's maybe some underlying things that maybe the victim didn't tell us, or we feel as though it meets that criteria, what we do is, even if they say, no, I don't want you sharing my name, we still call an advocate. Like Amy said, we either call SSM Health during the day, or we call Solution Center after. If they say, no, we don't want to share the name, we still give initials, and we let them know what they answered yes to. to, and they don't have to talk on the phone, but we still have to make the phone call so they know something happened. Now, if they say, yes, I do want to talk to an advocate, right when I'm on the phone with them, I'll turn over the phone to the victim, and they get to talk to the advocate for as long as they need. They can set up an appointment to meet in person. Maybe they need housing or somewhere to stay for the night. They could always talk to them and get the resources that they need right there and then. So it's really a great program that we have started a couple years ago now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and after they had that initial phone call, us as advocates, we do a follow-up a few hours later when things kind of settle down and kind of reiterate that we're here as a support and backup, and then offer what kind of resources they might need. Is it looking at maybe doing the restraining order, like Officer mentioned? You know, because if they do like what they call a 72-hour no contact, then we're kind of in the know as well where things are at, so we can work with them on getting that restraining order before that 72 hours is up.
And having that be almost instantaneous as the as the event's happening, that's important too, because you're not waiting, 48, 72 hours after the fact when things have calmed down and maybe there's a getting back together or whatever it may be. You're talking about it right as it happened. It's a fresh kind of, in the mind thing, right?
Absolutely. Like Officer Matthews mentioned before, it's letting victims know that they're not alone. Mm-hmm. They have that backup and support. And we know that there's a lot more going on than, just that initial incident. So, we have those supportive services, whether it's legal stuff, whether it's long-term counseling, or if there's another avenue or direction they need to go, maybe it's housing. There's a number of different things our case manager can help with as well. It's just kind of making that initial connection sometimes is a barrier. So,
and that's why it's good. I mean, part of our team is we reach out to them. We give them a call, like I said, within that 48 hours. Even if Amy doesn't know what's going on, obviously we know what's going on. We can call that victim and reiterate we have these resources. And sometimes in the heat of the moment of the incident at the night when they're talking to the officer, they're not thinking clearly and they're not telling us everything they want to tell us, only because they just have a lot going on. So making that follow-up call within that 48 hours, that gives them time to just take a deep breath, think about things, and we call back, they'll be like, I thought about this, like what if we were to do this, how do I get a restraining order? They're not thinking clearly the night of the incident, but they are, I see more so 48 hours after the incident when we're calling them back.
Very good. Anything else about the DVIT, domestic violence intervention, or the connection between domestic violence services and the police department you wanted to share this morning?
I think you got a crash course on what it all is. We threw a lot of information out there. But, if there is other questions or wanting to cover things a little bit more, contacting someone from DVIT over at, Fond du Lac City PD, or connecting with domestic violence services, we'd be happy to talk more about it.
Absolutely.
Very good. Officer Mathis, Amy, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.